panting engines, thundering in your kingly ears. Fingers, numb. Nice light boxes, lifting from the track. Splinter of wood in the flesh of your thumb. Try to bite it out with your new gnashers and off it breaks. Daft, how a tiny hurt can pain that much. Heard a story. Lad in the school hall, PT lesson, vaulting. Spelk in his finger from the vaulting horse. Turned septic. Lad died. Young, old, never know when your time's up. Speedy job unloading rhubarb. Perishable. Due at Covent Garden, due at Spitalfields, due. Always one eye on the clock. Who'd be a porter? He would. Railways in his blood. King's Cross, centre of the world. Stomp up from all corners of the globe. Bankers and country bumpkins. Penniless foreign royals. Swanking riffraff. But he belongs. Proud to belong. Known here, on York Street, born. On York Street, he'll die. By 2 in the morning, he'd murder for a pint, murder for his bed. Best thing about this special, the smell. Lean into the truck and reach for the crates lined with blue paper, blue setting off the red of the rhubarb. Breathing in takes him back to the country. A boy again, on the hot picking, setting off for Kent with a slice of bread and marge sprinkled with sugar, a bottle of water. Magic to be here in the smoke and steam, and in the same instant back in a field of hops, back in an orchard of English apples. Slam the door of the empty truck, open the next one, reach out. Touch what shouldn't be there. Not on the rhubarb special. The minute he touched it, he knew. Or that's what he said afterwards when he described the cold shiver. This didn't grow in any farmer's field. Chapter 1. No matter how many times I come to London, I still love to look about me, even if it is only at the shops and the risk-taking pedestrians on Gray's Inn Road. Young D.C. Martin Yates left me to my gazing, which I curtailed a little, so as not to be classed as a country bumpkin. The driver wove in and out of the traffic until we drew up at the grand, granite-faced building on the embankment that is New Scotland Yard. Once inside, we exchanged the smoke of the city for a fug of cigarette fumes mingled with fried bacon. Someone must have been sent to bring sandwiches. As befits a man of high rank, Commander Woodhead had his office on the top floor, reached by a juddering lift. I first met him and his wife when Mother and I were staying in London with Aunt Berta. As young men, he and Uncle played in the same rugger team. I remembered him as tall and broad with a shock of dark hair. The man who stood as I entered his office was slightly stooped. His hair, though still plentiful, had turned white. He looked ancient beside the young detective constable. As my father often said, the war robbed institutions of a middle generation. Now, old and young worked side by side, looking at each other across a sometimes incomprehensible divide. That absence of the men in the middle benefited youngsters like Martin Yates. He surely must be entrusted with greater tasks than escorting a lady detective from King's Cross. The commander came round to my side of the desk to shake hands. "You'll have had refreshments on the train, Mrs. Shackleton?" If that was his polite way of telling me not to waste his time over tea and buns, it worked. "Yes, thank you." He took a seat and motioned to D.C. Yates to draw up a chair. In spite of his haste in wishing to jump to the business in hand, he observed the usual courtesies, asking about my mother and aunt. He had probably seen my aunt more recently than I had, but the less said of that, the better. It did not take long for him to meander almost to the point. "How much do you know, Mrs. Shackleton?" "Only that you wish to talk to me about a special